11b.
The idea for the internet began back in the early days of the Cold War. Feeling nervous about the possibility of a nuclear war, the American government began to wonder how communications within the military could be maintained. Having communication in one central location would make it vulnerable to attack. So in deep secrecy, RAND Corporation began to work on a solution to this chilling possibility in the 1960s. Paul Baran of RAND Corporation came up with the idea for the beginnings of the Internet, a new communication system that would have neither central location nor authority and would be designed to operate in chaos. It was a brilliant solution to the possibility of a nuclear holocaust because it was intended to be decentralized from the beginning. Information would be delivered through individual nodes, each with its own authority to send and receive messages. Information would wind its way around the system until ultimately reaching its intended destination. It wouldn't matter if one or another node were destroyed, because the information would remain in the air, received and sent among whichever nodes remained. To realize this vision of a decentralized communication system, an ambitious project called ARPANET was assembled in the U.S., and its nodes were the high-speed supercomputers of the time. The first node was installed at UCLA in 1969, and three others were set up later that year. By the second year, this project unintentionally turned into a high-speed mail service, as those working on the project began to transmit news and personal messages via this network. By the time the military segment broke off and began its own system, ARPANET had begun to warp into something different, a very large and rapidly growing network of communication comprising several different systems. This network became a galaxy of nodes as groups and individuals began to have greater access to more powerful computers. This network evolved into the Internet as we know it today, as this cheap and wondrous information and communication tool was bound to become incredibly popular with the general public. Today, it's a system that, put simply, connects everyone to everyone else. Mail is transferred among individuals from country to country, and discussions take place between people who might never have had a chance to meet in person. But of course, this kind of communication is not all that happens over the Internet. It's perhaps more than anything a vast warehouse of information, making it a tool for reference and research. It's also an invaluable business tool used by both businesses and consumers. Although governments have some control over messages and information on the Internet, there is no central control, no government that operates this network of communication. It essentially belongs to the people. This can be both a good thing and a bad thing, as such freedom necessarily allows for the exchange of any kind of information or opinion. Ironically, what grew from a fear of the potential annihilation of the human race has given us peaceful possibilities we'd never imagined. The anarchy of the Internet is ripe with the potential for truly connecting human beings, for allowing us to understand one another in ways that would have been impossible. It's perhaps an oversimplification to assume that all problems can be worked out through communication, but communication is at least a start, and it can help avoid many conflicts. Surely the Internet is a tool unlike any other for communication. And surely the human race can greatly benefit from the ability of two people from across the world to share, even in cyberspace.